chains. And I think you can probably see by now, let me move one of the chains just a little bit for you. The chain that we're going to ask God to break in our lives today is the chain of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. If we were real honest this morning, have you ever had something happen in your life, maybe at the hands of a friend or a foe, and you just found it hard to let it go? Maybe you wanted to just hold on to that, to those feelings of anger or those feelings of bitterness, and you didn't want to forgive them the way that God asks us to. And the truth is, we probably all have. The truth is, maybe some of us even today are dealing with this long word. It's a pretty long one today, isn't it? And it's also a pretty weighty subject, so it's appropriate. But today we're going to ask God to break the chains of unforgiveness in our lives today. Think about it this way. We've certainly received forgiveness, and so God asks us to share that forgiveness with one another. So we'll talk a lot about that today in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. There was a study that was made at Johns Hopkins University, and it actually found that the act of forgiveness can reap great health rewards. In other words, to forgive people is actually healthy for you. And they found this out to be. In fact, here's some of the things that letting go of anger and letting go of hostility and bitterness and forgiving somebody can actually lower your risk of a heart attack. It can also improve your sleep. It can reduce pain. I'm not sure how that fits in, but it can reduce pain. It lowers blood pressure. We can definitely see that one. It definitely takes away anxiety and depression and stress. So what a surprise. When we do it God's way, we find that it's actually good for us. Of course, as Christians, we should already know that. Amen? I want to get my first amen early today. Amen? All right. We got it. I don't want it to be the last amen. We want to say some amens through it. Today, we're going to talk about the power of forgiveness and how appropriate as we think about celebrating the Lord's Supper in a little bit. But let's look at these verses together and pray that God would speak to our hearts. In Colossians chapter 3, let's look at verses 12 to 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Here's the central part. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. There's a lot there in those few verses. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your word today. We pray, Lord, that you would give us open hearts and open minds today. We pray, Lord, that you would be able to speak clearly to us and that we would not just be hearers of the word, but we would be doers of your word. Help us, Lord, to forgive each other the way that you have forgiven us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we think about the power of forgiveness today, the first thing I want to mention to you is that we have been captured by His mercy. Captured by His mercy. Letter A on your outline is we have been blessed with a brand new position. A brand new, you might say, standing in Christ Jesus. Only Christians, only believers in Jesus can truly forgive like Jesus has forgiven us. If you're not a Christian, if you don't know what Christ has done for you on the cross, and there's never been a time in your life that you've asked Him to forgive you, then the truth is it's impossible for you to truly forgive somebody else. Only when we've received the forgiveness of God in our hearts can we share it with somebody else. Think about it. It only makes sense. How can we give away something that we haven't received in our own lives first? And so only Christians can forgive like Jesus. These verses were written to the church at Colossae. This actually would have been a church that was founded by the Apostle Paul in his third missionary journey. If it's toward the end of his lengthy journey on the mission field. And he calls the people in Colossae, and really each and every Christian, he mentions three things about them. The first thing, and I think they're going to make you feel pretty good today, the first one is that they have been chosen by God. Isn't that what it says there in verse 12? God's chosen people. If you're a believer today, I want to tell you it's not an accident. God had planned for you to be a believer, for you to be a Christian, I believe, even before He created the earth. And so it's not an accident. You are part of God's family. God has invited us. God has called us. God has worked in our hearts to draw us. Kind of like, think of it like a pulling. God has been pulling you until finally you said yes to Jesus, right? God has drawn you. He has given you an open heart and open spiritual eyes so that you could receive the amazing gift of salvation. You know what, church? That's good news this morning. You have been chosen by God. It's not an accident that you're a believer today. You have been called and chosen by Him. He goes on and says, not only have we been chosen, but He calls us holy people. You know what the word holy means? It means set apart for God's purpose. You know, not only was it not an accident that God called you out of the darkness and into His marvelous light, God called you for a reason. That means He's got jobs for us to do. He called you for a purpose. All right? Set apart for God's purpose. And then thirdly, not only chosen, not only holy, but also dearly loved. Recipients of the undeserved love of God. Now, I'll tell you what. You guys are kind of quiet today. Don't you know we're getting ready to celebrate the Lord's Supper today? We're getting ready to remember what Jesus has done for us on the cross of Calvary. No matter how difficult life is, God is still on the throne and we stand forgiven in His presence. Not only forgiven, but chosen, holy, and dearly loved people of God. If that doesn't put a big smile on your face today, if that doesn't bring joy to your hearts, then I'm not sure what else will. Right? Amen? We got something to celebrate here at First Baptist Church Lithonia. We can be happy because God has blessed us in every way we could think about. 2 Corinthians 5:14, speaking about being dearly loved, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:14, he says, For the love of Christ compels me. What does that mean? It means that Paul realized that God loved him, and because of that, his heart was filled with so much joy that he had a desire to serve Him. And that's really the same thing should be true in our own individual lives. But the truth is, we must receive God's love before we can share it. So far, you've been chosen, you've been called, you are loved, you are forgiven if you know Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so the question for us to answer as we go on this morning, how should we respond to that? We've laid the foundation, haven't we? What is going to be our response to what Christ has blessed us with? Well, letter B on your outline. The first thing is we've got brand new clothes to wear. Brand new clothing to wear. I know some of the women here are getting excited right now. A brand new wardrobe. I don't even have to go shopping for it. It's right there for me to put on. That's exactly right if you're a child of God. And so the question is, how is a Christian, how is a child of God supposed to dress? We want to dress appropriately, right? Has anybody ever been to a black tie event? You know, I don't know that I ever have. I see one hand in the back, a couple. All right, some. See, next time you go to one of these, you need to invite your pastor to go with you so that I can say I've been to a black tie event. All right, now I've been to plenty of coat and tie events. All right, by the way, they're not always my favorite either. All right. There's another way. How about casual or business relaxed? That's more my speed. How about shorts and a t-shirt? Some of you are saying, that's my speed. But depending on the occasion, there's a different way that we're supposed to dress. Whether it be black tie or whether it be shorts and a t-shirt. But you know what? God isn't so impressed with our physical attire. You know what God wants to see? God goes a little deeper, doesn't he? By the way, God always goes deeper. Where does he go? He goes right to our hearts. And so he's not so concerned about our physical attire, right? He's concerned about our spiritual apparel. In other words, how are we dressed spiritually? Well, this verse that we just looked at, verse 12, the last part of it, tells us the way that a Christian is supposed to be dressed. Let God cover our fleshly imperfections, and we all have them, but what are we supposed to cover them with? We're supposed to cover them with the holy character of God. A lot of times we refer to some of these characteristics as the fruit of the Spirit. What does that mean? It means the result of walking with God. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, our appearance, our spiritual appearance is going to change. And we're going to begin to start dressing and looking like Jesus. Clothes given to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, it mentions five here. And I'm just going to go over these briefly so that we can move forward today. But you are going to see how these five that we're going to talk about apply to the rest of the message on forgiveness. The first quality that needs to be a part of our Christian life, if we're going to live the life that God has asked us to live, the first one is compassion. Compassion, another way of putting that would be empathy for the suffering. The people that we just mentioned in prayer today, right? Our Christian brothers and sisters that are struggling and hurting today. What does compassion mean? Compassion means we're concerned about them. We're thinking about them. We're praying for them. We care. We care about what they're going through. How many of you think that's a pretty good Christian quality to have compassion for somebody that's hurting? Amen. I see some hands being lifted up. Here's another one. What about kindness? Kindness means affectionate. It means loving. We all know what kindness means, and it's definitely supposed to be a part of our Christian character. Here's another one. Humility. This simply means, this one's easier to define by taking the opposite. And you know what humility is not? It's not being haughty, and it's not being prideful. It's really what it means is putting ourselves at a lower level than the other people we're trying to minister to. That's humility, humbling ourselves. And humility also is very important as we serve God and as we get along with each other. The fourth one, gentleness. This means calm, sensitive, and delicate. In other words, if you're gentle, you're not going to go fly into a rage. You're going to be calm. You're going to be even-tempered. You're going to be gentle. You're going to be loving. All right? And that also is very important. And then this one that kind of ties in with the gentleness is patience. But think about this. Patience isn't just waiting. How many of you like to wait, by the way? Nobody? Me neither. I'm glad I'm not alone in this. But you know what? Patience in the Bible goes much deeper than just waiting. You know what patience in the Bible is? Suffering as we wait. That's why some versions use the word long-suffering. It means to not just wait. None of us like to do that. But to top it off, none of us like to suffer either. And so long-suffering means bearing with pain and not complaining. Ooh, that's really hard, all right? Every one of these qualities. Now notice we didn't mention all nine of them that are mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. We only mentioned five of them. You know, if you look at all these qualities that we've mentioned so far, you'll see that there's something in common with them. Every one of these qualities help us to get along with each other. How many of you know that's not always easy to get along with each other? Sometimes we need compassion. Sometimes we just need kindness. We always need humility. We need gentleness. And yes, church, we need patience. All of these five that the Apostle Paul highlights here in the category of forgiveness deals with how we get along with each other. If you don't have these, you're not going to be able to do this. You're not going to be able to forgive somebody, all right, that you don't care about, that you don't love, that you're not humble enough to let go and to forgive that person. Every one of these are needed in order to keep the unity and the peace in the family of God. And by the way, they're also needed to keep peace in the world today. The reason why there's so much hatred and division in the world is because so many people need Jesus. So many people need Jesus. And by the way, it's our job to tell them. Number one, captured by His mercy. Number two, we are challenged to share His grace. Challenged to share His grace. Look back at verse 13. Let me share just the first part of it one more time in Colossians chapter 3. Here's what it says. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. We're challenged to share His grace, letter A. If we're going to do that, the first thing we need to do is overlook one another's weaknesses. Overlook one another's weaknesses. That's what the words bear with each other. Another way of putting that, we got to put up with each other. We got to put up with each other. And again, to say, man, if you knew the, I see my wife chuckling in the front because now she's got to put up with me, doesn't she? And let me tell you, I might look pretty good up here on a Sunday morning, but there's times that maybe I'm not so good, and she has to put up with my weaknesses. And don't worry, I'm going to get her back in just a minute here. So just hold on a minute. But we have to put up with each other. We are all imperfect people. And the truth is, the Bible makes it clear, we all fall short. So for one person to sit up here and think that they're higher than the rest of us, nuh-uh. We're all even, an even playing field. We're all in the needy category because we all fall short. Now here's the part I told you was coming up. Barb has a shirt she likes to wear, and I actually had to send her a text message the other day just to find out what it said. Here's what her sweatshirt says. By the way, think if you think this is a very humble statement. I'm not always right, but I'm never wrong. I'm not always right, but I'm never wrong. By the way, when she wears that shirt and we go out, she gets lots of comments. And usually it's from other women that say, I love your shirt. Right? She could probably sell them. But you know what? That's a tricky statement. We've got to be careful. We can't be too rigid. We've got to give everybody a little slack. How many of you want to lift a hand today and say, there's times in my life that I need some grace? Every single hand went up. That's good news. Sometimes we got to give people a little slack. Here's what 1 Peter 4:8 says. Above all, in other words, most important, what's the most important thing we need to do? Love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. You know what love does, church? Love overlooks imperfections. Love is powerful enough and big enough to give somebody a break and to overlook maybe something they said or something they did and just let it go. Love is big enough to do that. John 13, 34, a new command I give you, Jesus told His disciples, love one another as I have loved you. You know what? We need to love one another. Here's something I found. I don't have a name to give credit to, but it's a beautiful quote, and it's really good. Here's what it says. Without love, there is only friction. Love is the lubricant in any relationship. Let me read it one more time for you. Without love, there's only, you know what friction is, right? Where we rub against each other, and that's not good. Love is the lubricant in any relationship. If we really love each other the way we're supposed to, there won't be that friction that we see around us all the time today. Our fleshly eyes can be blind to our own shortcomings. but we recognize them so clearly in others. You know, that's why the Lord in that story, he said, before you judge somebody else, take the plank out of your own eye so that you'll be able to see clearly to take the little speck of dust out of your brother or sister's eye. But you know, I think the enemy plays a little sneaky trick on us. And here's what it is. Sometimes we can see everybody else's imperfections, but we have a hard time seeing whose? Our own. All right? And I believe that's the enemy wants us to be pointing the finger at everybody else, but not taking care of business in our own hearts. Sometimes we might think, well, man, why can't everybody be like me? Well, I got some news for all of us today. They are. They're imperfect. And they all fall short just like me. We're all the same. We all fall short. But the enemy plays little tricks on us to think that we're all that sometimes and everybody else falls short. No, we all fall short. We all need forgiveness. We all need lubricant in our relationships. We need love. Overlook one another's weaknesses. What does that mean? Give somebody a break. Give somebody a break. Letter B, overcome the obstacles of resentment. Overcome the obstacles of resentment. We see the word forgive there, that we're supposed to forgive one another, right? The word, the Greek word there is charisme. And here's what it means. It means to bestow favor unconditionally. Whether they deserve it or not, we are told as Christians to forgive one another. Whether we think they deserve it or not, we've got to forgive them because the Bible tells us to. Here's a definition for forgiveness. A conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or group who has harmed you, regardless of whether they deserve it or not. I know what you're thinking. Man, forgiveness is hard. It's hard because we all have people that we feel like have wronged us. And the Bible says we've got to leave it in God's hands. We've got to let it go. We've got to forgive. Romans 4:7. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are forgiven. Blessed is the person whose transgressions are forgiven and sins are covered. Holding on to unforgiveness sours our hearts, our minds, and our lives. Sometimes we hold on because we just don't want to let go something that somebody has done wrong, and we think that we're doing them harm. We think we're hurting them by holding on to the bitterness. You know where I'm going with this, don't you, church? The truth is, who are we really hurting? We're hurting ourselves. It hurts ourselves more. Here's another quote. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Think about how foolish that is, right? Drinking poison, right? But you know what? A poisonous attitude of unforgiveness can be just as deadly in our own lives. It brings up that bitterness, that anger, and we think we're like punishing that person for not forgiving them. The truth is, you know who we're punishing? We're punishing ourselves. We need to let go. We need to remove whatever grievance. You know what a grievance is? Think of that stumbling block. Whatever has come in between you and that other person that you want to have a good relationship with, that's what the grievance is. And so you know what the Bible tells us to do? It says, with God's help now, let him move that grievance, that stumbling block out of the way so that we can love each other the way we're supposed to. Let go of it. Remove whatever grievance, whatever quarrel, whatever cause of blame or complaint you have against one another. What's the source? Whatever the source of our division is. And you know what, church? Basically, when we forgive somebody, you know what we're doing? We're saying, Lord, with your help, I'm going to let it go. You take care of it. You take care of it. We're not trying to handle it on our own. We're not trying to be angry and bitter and rude. But we just basically, forgiveness is saying, God, you forgave me. help me to forgive somebody else. And just let it, lay it down before him and walk away. That's what forgiveness is really all about. Captured by his mercy, challenged to share his grace. Look at number three. We're called to show sacrificial love. Called to show sacrificial love. Now we're going to get to the part that you've all been waiting for. Look at the last part of verse 13. You've been waiting for this, haven't you? I hope you have anyway. It says we're supposed to forgive. How? The same way the Lord has forgiven us. And so the first thing, letter A on your outlines, forgiven for an unpayable debt. We've been forgiven from an unpayable debt. Forgive others like God forgave us. So, as we get started on this point, only going to be another few minutes, I promise. Let's think for a minute how God has forgiven us, right? If I'm supposed to forgive others the way that God has forgiven me, then wouldn't it be good to think for a moment about how much God has forgiven us for? Well, let me share just a couple of things about that. First of all, I want to tell you that God forgave us when we didn't deserve it. Every single one of us were completely unworthy. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what? The Bible says we were enemies with God, and Jesus took the step to die in our place to show an immeasurable type of love while we were enemies of God. We didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve it. We weren't good. We weren't pretty good. We weren't somewhat good. We were just rotten and bad. And Jesus died for us while we were rotten and bad. Second of all, he forgave us completely. He didn't just forgive us a little bit. He forgave us completely. Psalm 103 verse 12. Psalm 103 verse 12. Here's what it says about Jesus' forgiveness. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. You know what? The east goes forever. Well, my directions are always wrong. So the east goes forever one direction, and west goes forever the other direction. And you know what? They never meet. They just go. That's how far God has separated our sin from us. By the way, that's good news. Amen? Amen. Thirdly, we've been cleansed entirely. Isaiah 1:18, here's what the Lord says. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they should be weighed white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be made white as wool. In other words, completely clean in the eyes of God. All right? And if that didn't do it for you, let me share one more. While Jesus had his arms stretched out in Luke 23 in our Bibles, he had his arms stretched out as the Roman centurion were driving the spikes into his wrists. Y'all know what he said, don't you? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If Jesus can forgive this way, what right do I have to be unwilling to forgive somebody who has wronged me? If Jesus can forgive like this, why don't I? We've got to let it go. We've got to follow what Jesus told us to do. The verse there was Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Today we will be remembering Jesus' perfect sacrifice. Here's something I found that was very helpful. It was actually an article written by, her name is Nicole Minute. Nicole Minute. And I'll be happy to share it with you if you'd like to look at it. But it mentions five ways or five steps in forgiveness. And I hope it'll do some good in your life. The first thing is, I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to share the highlights. The first thing is we've got to acknowledge. We've got to acknowledge that there's a problem. That there's somebody that we're just having a hard time forgiving, right? Be real with God. Be real with God. By the way, he knows anyway. Then you know what we need to do? We need to admit him that on our own, we can't do it. In other words, God, you know what they've done to me, and I need some help. I know I'm supposed to forgive, but I can't do it in my own strength. God, will you help me? By the way, how many of you think God will answer a prayer like that? You better believe he will. Thirdly, we need to make a conscious decision to forgive. To say, maybe on our knees, say, God, I forgive that person. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to leave it in your hands. Make a conscious decision. Do it and declare it. Fourthly, release the event that happened. Do not replay it again and again. By the way, that's what the enemy likes to do, isn't it? He likes to stir things up. And he likes to keep those things that even we've laid at the altar, and he likes to bring them up again. Don't let him do that, right? Leave it. Let it go. Don't review the things in your mind again and again. And here's the fifth one and the most important. Pray for the person that hurts you. Pray for the person that hurt you. In Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. At this point, I know that I have truly forgiven the person when I am able to pray for them. I'll leave these out if someone would like to look at them a little closer, but I thought that those five steps were very important and very helpful in forgiving each other. Forgiven from an unpayable debt, and finally, letter B, freedom comes through love. Freedom comes through love. In verse 14, it says, and above all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. The most important thing that the Bible asks us to do, really commands us to do, is to love one another. By the way, love is the only pure motivation for every aspect of the Christian life. Why do we serve God? Because we love Him. Why do we love each other? Because God loved us first. It's the only proper motivation for everything we do in the Christian life is love. The truth is, we have compassion for one another because we love one another. We have humility because we love. We have kindness because we love. We have patience because we love. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Why? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. His love compels us to forgive one another. If we have his love in our hearts, then he will give us the ability to forgive one another. If we have received forgiveness, then we must also learn how to give it away. The Bible tells us to forgive others like God forgave us. Listen to this one last statement, and then we'll have our time of invitation before we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Freedom comes when we are willing to truly forgive each other the way that Christ forgave us. You want to be free of that weight, that bitterness, that struggle that's in your heart? You know how to let it go? Forgive. If you forgive, then God will bless you and me with freedom. Three things as we have a time of invitation. First of all, have you responded to God's call to receive His mercy and forgiveness? Jesus loved you and me so much that He was willing to stretch out His arms on the cross of Calvary. He came all the way from heaven and was born among us and laid His life down on the cross for one reason. He came that far to reach you with His mercy and forgiveness. Here's the question. Have you received it? He's calling you. You better believe if you're listening to this message today, wherever you are, Jesus is calling you. How are you going to respond? Are you going to receive His grace and mercy today? Second of all, we all fall short. Our sins create obstacles between us. You know what forgiveness does, church? It removes those barriers. It removes that dividing wall of hostility that Scripture talks about. Forgiveness removes the barriers and restores the peace. Who do you need to forgive today? What barriers, what obstacles are in between you and the people that you want to love? You know what? Pray that God could remove those barriers, and the way that it happens is through forgiveness. And then thirdly, forgive as the Lord forgave you. You might be saying, they don't deserve it. If you knew what they did to me, what they said, how it hurt, you know what? Freedom comes when we're willing to let it go. You know what we need to do today? We need to let it go. We need to forgive each other because we all fall short. We need to forgive each other the same way that Jesus forgave us. You know what? I think our world, we say our world needs more love. Yes, it does. But you know what else? The world needs more forgiveness today. The world needs forgiveness. Let it start with me and you. Let's have a closing prayer and a time of invitation. Whatever your need is, whatever's weighing heavy on your heart, lay it before the altar today and experience freedom like maybe you've never experienced before. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness that we can have in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that when you laid your life down on that cross, you died in my place so that I could be clean in your sight. Lord, if there be one listening today that has not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, let today be the day of salvation. But Father, help us to not only receive the forgiveness from you, help us, Lord, to be willing to share that forgiveness with everybody in our life. We all fall short, Lord. We all need grace and mercy. Help us to show grace and mercy for one another. If there be somebody that's just holding on to something today, Lord, let them be free. Let them experience freedom as we lay it down before you today, as we forgive as you have forgiven us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come as the Lord leads us this morning.